Good evening and welcome to Milkshake Monday, our first of year 2023. I'm Anita Helm and this is being brought to you by Four Dose Productions. Happy New Year. Now tonight's episode 224 is Introduction to New Soil. Before I start, I wanted to share something that's been on my heart for actually a few days and weeks. And it's about mental health. And with the loss of Twitch, who used to be Ellen DeGeneres' DJ and close friend, dancer, all the things of the entertainer that he was, it's been on my heart that I want us to say, as a public service announcement, basically, don't walk past pain. Now, a lot of stories are saying that people did not know, and I understand what they're saying. But in the case of him and so many others who are having the magnitude of having to hide in plain sight in some cases, when you're an entertainer or you're just a person going to school or whatever's going on in your life, they're having to hide, they feel, their depression, their sorrow, their pain, and their despair, to the point that no matter whether it's a smile on somebody's face or they look like they're the life of the party, even as I think about the past comedian Robin Williams who took his life, these people are hurting to the point that they don't think that there's any way out other than to take their lives. And that's why they have now started the new 988 suicide and crisis lifeline for people who need any kind of help. And the reason why I said don't walk by pain is because don't allow yourself to hear someone in your life, in your sphere of influence, that they say, after you say, how are you? How are you doing? And they say, okay, fine, I'm all right. And there's something about it that just doesn't feel quite all right. If you get the moment to say these words, I care about you. And if I'm not the right person that you want to talk to, let me help you find that right person, or let you with me call 988 and let you talk to them privately. Just don't leave them at a place where they feel like they have to hide behind that pain or that facade or that magnitude of everything that they're covering up what they're feeling. Engage with them to at least let them know that you care and that you're willing to help them get mental health, and they don't have to be embarrassed or feel like they're ashamed, because everyone goes through something and all of us need to get help, or we can engage somebody to know how to get help. And even Christ himself says that he's leaving, and he's leaving us a comforter, a helper. So it's not anything to be ashamed of if you need help in whatever capacity that you do. And I just wanted you to understand that. Now, transitioning to the topic of Milkshake Monday tonight, how I came about this topic. I've lived in several houses over the years, and I have 5 plants, not many plants. My youngest daughter doesn't particularly care for my plants, but I only have 5 of them. And one of them is in this beautiful, it's a plant holder. But over time, I've noticed that it's only had 3 blooms, in the sense of the flowers are beautiful, the pot is beautiful, but 3 blooms. And I always said, what can I do differently? So the next house that we went to, I put it in a different place, got it a pot table and all that kind of put a pot stand to put it on. And it went from 3 blooms to 7 blooms over 6 years. And I'm still thinking, it came to this house that I'm in now. And I said, I probably got to give up that beautiful pot. I mean, the pot is gorgeous. I love it. But I said, the roots need more depth. The roots need some new soil. So I actually uprooted the plant, got new dirt, got a new pot, put the new dirt in, put the old dirt with the new dirt and resoiled and moisturized it and all that stuff, watered it properly. And it went to going from 7 actual leaves that I would see till I went to go count it. I couldn't even count it because the lighting and the new soil, all of it. And as I sat there looking at this plant, which I couldn't count all the leaves on it, I thought, what a difference new soil made to that plant. And it made me start thinking about the Lord and how the Lord wants to introduce us as believers to new soil for us to have more fruitful evangelism. But yet, there's something about the introduction of new soil that we kind of say, take a pause. And I wanted to explore that tonight. And I'm going to start with the greatest example of new soil and planting and seeds is with Jesus Christ. And he's going to talk out of Matthew 13. We're going to talk about the sower of seed as our foundational scripture, but I wanted to take us to an example. I always want us to have a person in the Bible that we can see what I'm talking about. So in the case of Introduction to New Soil, we're in Matthew 13, starting with verse 1. And we're going to read this passage. I'm going to let you see something. And one of the first things I want you to see is that when Christ Jesus starts to teach, he finds that he's sitting and the people are standing. Somehow now, you know, there's the pastor in the pulpit and we in the congregation, we're sitting in the comfortable pews. But when it came to the large crowds around Christ Jesus, he was in boats. He was at other places in the fields and he sat down and the people stood up. But now if people get uncomfortable, if the church has an overflow and people have to stand, oh God, we have to stand. We're going to be uncomfortable. How can we stand for an hour or two? If you really understand the value of the word and who we're hearing from and what we're hearing about, we can stand for all kinds of things. People had the Black Friday sales and they stood in line for hours and almost 2 days, but we can't stand for the word of God. We can't stand for 5 minutes to hear the scripture. All this kind of stuff that we start to say, we can't. So look at Matthew 13, starting at verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, now I want y'all to know something before I start this next verse. The Lord entrusted Joseph to be Jesus' stepfather, and he was a carpenter. Now you would think that as a carpenter, maybe he would use examples about furniture and building and wood and that kind of thing. But Christ often uses farming and seeds and those kind of things, even though his background and people would reference, isn't this the carpenter's son? But here he's starting to talk about farming. And the thing I want you to see as I'm getting ready to read this scripture is that Christ will talk about scattering the seeds. And in the discussion tonight about the introduction to new soil, many of us have the tendency to drop seeds in the same place, same place, same place, same place, same place, even though these seeds and the conditions of the soil that we're dropping seeds may not be a place where growth is taking place. And you're going to see the word scattering of seeds and hundredfold and sixfold, 60-fold and 40-fold over good ground. And as you look into 2023, it's important for you to understand and pray to the Father in Christ's name and through the Holy Spirit. Are you actually in the good soil? And is it a possibility that the Holy Spirit is trying to introduce you an introduction to new soil, and you're not just going to drop a seed in one place, but you're going to be scattering seeds, and you're going to see at different places of the seeds that you're dropping and you're sowing into that good ground that he's leading you to, that there's going to be growth and production. And yes, many of us over the years have been going through pruning, painful pruning, but now there's a different environment that God wants to put us in for new soil, good soil, because he wants us to bear more fruit. Now look at what it says. A farmer went out to sow. That is going. He went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Now, before I go on to the good soil, you may find that you are saying to people that are in your influence that God has shown you, speak the word, talk to them about the Lord, but you're seeing the same behaviors that the cares of this world are interrupting, the thorns of this world, the shallowness of their receipt. Their ears aren't hearing. They're hearing you, but it's just flapping. You know, they don't hear what you're saying, because guess what? The Lord is going to explain to his disciples, the mysteries of the kingdom are only for some. But we don't know what those some are. So we are responsible for spreading the seed. But you have to understand, over time, that seed may blossom or it may stay stagnant. But your purpose and my purpose is to spread the seeds, scatter the seeds, because we don't know whether the path is going to be thorny. We don't know whether the path is going to be good, but we have to see the fruits of it. And when you start to see there's production here and there, and more people are coming to know the Lord, and more people are hearing about the word, and it's just reproducing after its kind, then you understand the difference between good soil and not so good soil. So here's what it says in verse 8. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. 30 times, 100 times, 60 times what was sown. Whoever has an ear, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Now listen to this. He's going to explain to the disciples more carefully. And so when I get to the object lessons of what we're going to see, I want you to start understanding if you are able to hear and understand, because everybody can't. You have to pray to the Holy Spirit to give you understanding. But in this verse, it says, "Listen then to what the parables of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown among the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When troubles or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes the word, making it unfruitful." In 2023, as you look at the resolutions you may have, as you look at what may be in your path, maybe the things choking out the message of God, maybe things that are getting in the way because of deceitfulness of wealth, introspect. Go before the Lord and have a discussion that only you and Him can have about what is causing your faith to stagnate, to not grow, to be choked out, to have no root. He just explained that. And some of you may be fruitful. I'm not saying that anybody is or is not, but it's important for you to assess. For 2023, we're just starting out. Where are the seeds? What's happening with the seeds? But look at this scripture in verse 23. "But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. That's beyond the one seed. They're having 160, 30 times that one seed because they're being fruitful and it's multiplying. Now we're going to the object lesson of who we're going to study tonight. This is for us to understand and to share with others. I try to break it down so that we can have an opportunity to share with the young people, the people that don't go to church, all kinds of things that we have going on that we got to share the message of truth, especially in 2023. Now, Jonah, go to the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. It's got four chapters. And I want to talk about the object lesson of the new soil, but it has something to do also with the sowers. We know that the word of God is the seed, but we also understand that that farmer, that sower, is those of us who say we love God and we're believers in Christ. But guess what? There are times that we as believers have a hard heart, are obstinate, and we are judgmental to the point that when God speaks to us to go, when the sower went out, when the farmer went out, we don't want to go. It's a reality. We don't want to go. It's 2023 and we can make all kinds of excuses for why we don't want to go. We're going to see what happened in Jonah. And we're going to have 10 very quick object lessons. Because in 2023, we have so much work to do for the Lord. The harvest is plenteous. That's what the word of God teaches us. The laborers are few. And part of the problem with the labor force is what Jonah has going on. He had an introduction to new soil by the Lord Almighty, God commanding him. And when God commands, it's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. He's commanding it. But we, as the hearers of his word that say we love God, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to do it. We don't want to go to the new soil. We don't want to spread the seeds outside of our comfort zone because we're used to spreading it in the house of God. And now we got it that we don't even want to go to the house. We wanted to get streaming video for whatever reason. Some are legitimate and some are this. You don't want to go, but you can go to every place else, but you don't want to go. In Jonah chapter 1, object lesson number 1 for Jonah chapter 1 verses 1 through 3. God's command. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. He came directly to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. Again, a command directly to Jonah, what to do, why he's got to do it, and what he wants to be proclaimed. Object lesson number 2, disobedience. But Jonah, verse 3, ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. We can't run away from the Lord. There is no place we can go. Psalm 139, there's no place we can go that God is not there. And he will see and understand fully our disobedience. He went down to Joppa, which if you know on a map, Tarsus is one way, Joppa's another way, where he found a ship bound for that port. I want y'all to know, he's going to be on a ship that goes to a port. And if you've ever been on a cruise, you know how a port is set up. When that big fish that God prepared spits him out, he ain't on no port. He spit out straight on land because you think you're running away from God. But when God gets you to the place he wants you to be, he's going to take you directly there. Here, after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Object lesson number 3, Jonah chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. There's always a consequence when you disobey God and when you think you're running for God from God. You're not going anywhere that God's not going to already know where you are when you get there. And he's already going to have everything prepared for your little running feet. The consequence. Verse 14, the sailors realize there's a storm. I'm jumping around. And they understand that the lots fall into Jonah, and they want to throw him overboard because they are really concerned about their lives. These are the sailors on that boat. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man." Jonah's not innocent. He's in disobedience to God. He's not innocent of the offense that he's disobeyed a direct command from God. "For you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Object lesson number 4. The Lord is always steps ahead of us, even when we disobey. He desires our obedience. But even when he disobeys, he understands us better than we understand ourselves. That's why Christ had to come, because he knew we were depraved in our sin and the wages of sin is death. And the only way we could have a relationship with him through eternity was that his son had to give his sinless blood. And in this case here, in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah after he was thrown overboard. He already had prepared and provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." And you know, the symbology of the 3 days, 3 nights is in Christ when he was crucified, spent 3 days, 3 nights before his resurrection. Object 11, lesson number 5 in chapter 2. In chapter 2, at the beginning of chapter 2, you will see that while Jonah is in the belly of the fish, the 3 days and three nights, he's recognizing his disobedience, that he's running from God, which is a foolish errand. And he's in the depths of this huge fish to the point of he thinks of his death. And he got real sensitive, like people in jail, people in the hospital, people in a fix, you're real sensitive. And that's when he starts to introspect and starts to repent and wants God to get him out of this bad fix. As we all do, he's no different than all of us. When we're introduced to a new soil that we don't want to go to, we want to find excuses, want to run away, but God don't accept that. And here Jonah has some time to reflect. It says here, "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, 'In my distress, I called to the Lord.'" Don't we all? "And he answered me." For those of you under the sound of my voice and you're like, "I'm all messed up. God is not going to hear my prayers." God hears everything. Now, if your heart is in distress and you're sincere about calling on God because you want to repent, you want to find him, you want to seek him, you want to ask him to come into your heart, you're sincere, he hears you. And he's also checking your motives, and he's checking, are you really for real? Have you hit your rock bottom? Have you hit the season like the prodigal son who has this coming to himself and going back home ready to say, "Daddy, I don't even belong to be called a son. I'll be one of your hired servants." And the father that was on the porch waiting is just like our Father in heaven, with Christ making intercession. He's waiting for you to talk to him, to cry out to him, to repent to him. And here Jonah says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help and you listened to my cry." Object lesson number 6, chapter 2, still, starting with verse 10. "The Lord forgives and will restore to those who are contrite." That means you really are sincere. You really mean it. You're not playing games. You're not hop, skipping, and a jump thinking that God's stupid. God knows us. God has seen us before the foundation of the world. He knows everything about you and I. And here what God does is he forgives. It says, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land." Now, I want y'all to understand that Jonah disobeyed, Jonah, in his distress, asked God, pleaded with God to help him, restore him, forgive him. But that same Jonah, as we go through, has such a disdain, hate, despising of the evil wickedness that's going on in Nineveh, that he thinks he's okay to ask God for forgiveness. But when it comes to others, others who he's determined don't deserve forgiveness, repentance, he don't want to talk to them. He doesn't want them to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord. And some of us, when God introduces us to new soil that we think are awful, evil, tainted sinners, they just have taken it to another level than us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is everybody. You can't say, I don't want to help the homeless. I don't want to help the crack addict. I don't want to help the people in prison that murdered. I don't want to help the sex offenders. I don't want to help the people that are gamblers. I don't want to help the addicts and the alcoholics. I don't want to help the whoremongers. You don't have that as your choice, because all of us are sinners who have the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, knowing all of us were sinners. Satan wants to take everybody to the lake of fire and destruction and eternal separation from God. But Jonah, who is a proclaimer of the word of God, has put himself above God because he says, first of all, I don't want to listen to you, God. I want to run away from you. And now that I've been given a chance by being vomited up by a fish after 3 days and three nights, now he says he's ready to go. Really? Object lesson number 7. Is a repeat of object lesson number 1. God in chapter 3 is repeating in that verse 1 and 2 what he said in chapter 1 that Jonah was disobedient for. Here we go. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. How many times does God have to speak to us more than once? Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Object lesson number 8 is similar to lesson 2, object lesson 2, but it's the reverse. In lesson 2, object lesson 2, he disobeyed and ran away. Object lesson 8, he's going to obey and have obedience because God has restored him out of the belly of that fish that vomited him up onto the land, the very land that he needed to go to. Guess what? He was going the opposite direction in the ship. God prepared the fish in the overboard in the 3 days and three nights. That fish that was prepared took him to the land of Nineveh where he was supposed to go in the beginning. So God has a way to get you where he wants you to go. He was going the opposite direction on a ship, but he had his own prepared fish to take him exactly, not to a port, but on the very land that he needed to be proclaiming the good news of Christ. So chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Jonah obeyed. The new soil requires obedience. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That was the message God gave him. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believe God. You know why they believe God? Because Jonah is not the same time frame as, remember Genesis? Do you remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you think that some people got some news when God burned up Sodom and Gomorrah's and the surrounding cities? So when God has a messenger of God come and say, in 40 days, you better believe some people took it seriously. And let me tell you about the new soil. Before we get to this passage, I'm going to read. The new soil doesn't have limits for people's economic status. We're going to see that when the actual ruler of Nineveh, the king, heard the message, the pauper heard the message, those people from highest to lowest heard the message. Your new soil doesn't have conditions to say you can't talk to the rich, you can't talk to the poor, you can't talk to the homeless, you can't talk to the addict, you can't. No, you take it to the entire place of where the Holy Spirit takes you. They're going to tell you that 100 and some thousand people were there. You don't know where your new soil is going to take you, but you have to be obedient to God. Now, hear what it says in verse 5 of chapter 3. The Ninevites believed, it said, the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, because guess what? The Lord is King of kings and Lord of lords. And even a king understands you got to bow when it comes to the Lord. He took off his royal robes, covering himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. Do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion. Turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Do you understand? I've never seen this before. And people I've heard of sackcloth. This king was so serious. He said, I want y'all to cover the animals with sackcloth. He wasn't getting. And when you see God talk about at the end of this chapter of Jonah, he says there were 100 and some thousand people and animals. He saw the animals we even covered, because God, when he spites a location, everything dies. Y'all saw those, the Pharaoh and all the animals that died, the firstborn animals, everybody was killed, being killed. So people understand God's anger is fierce, and he can destroy everything he created, where we saw John 1 talking about he created everything. Everything that was created by him. So if he wants to wipe it out, he can wipe it out. Object lesson number 9. The restoration and forgiveness that you see by the Lord when we repent, when we ask for his forgiveness. Chapter 3, verse 10. When God saw that they did what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented. He relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. In the scriptures, you see that God's threatening certain things, but the reality is he's telling us that the wages of sin is death. That is not a threat. That is a promise. If you are taking for granted that you are going to have that, you know, the thief on the cross experience, that is a risky proposition. Because God knows those are his. And I don't want you to think, oh, I'll just say, God, forgive me, and that's done. God knows that the people that are his and love him, and those that are just playing games. I'm not going to go into that too much because of time. The final object lesson 10 is very important. And again, it's about us who are the sowers of God's seed, of the word. Because of our hearts, if we're not right, if we are not understanding that just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish and he asked God to forgive his disobedience, we have to have a heart of love to go to anybody and everybody to tell them about Christ and his love. The people that are considering killing themselves thinks that nobody loves them, nothing can help, there's nobody that can hurt, that could calm the pain of their hearts, the despair of their lives, because we don't want to talk to them about Christ. We want to talk to them, come to my church, come hear my choir, come to my program. Why aren't you this? You are bad this. Oh, you are bad this. All of us deserve death because of our sin. But all of us have the ability to know that Christ loved us and he forgave those of us who are willing to repent and understand he is the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. And he's come in spite of knowing all of our sin, all of our dirt, all of our depravity, all of the stuff that is yucky and sinful and evil. He knew it and he still came. But here's the problem with Jonah, and here's the problem with some of us. When the introduction of new soil is presented, we just don't want to go to them, the other, those folks. We don't want to talk to those folks. We don't want to leave home because we don't want to deal with that. We'd like to do it in the clean section of town. We want to do it in our church. Well, you don't fish in a fish tank. You go out of the fish tank. You get trained and discipled in the fish tank, which I'm talking about the houses of God. But you need to go out and talk to the people who are hurting and struggling. But here's Jonah. Chapter 4. But to Jonah, who after he saw God relent, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. He prayed to the Lord. Look at this attitude, because this is not unusual. It's just being spoken of openly. It's not unusual. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall. I didn't want this to happen. I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. This arrogance of this servant of the Most High God is baffling. Really? We have it every day. And I pray to God that we don't have it in 2023. But the reality is we have the arrogance to, when God says, go save the unloved, the unwashed, the addicted, the afflicted, the imprisoned. We're like, Jonah has an attitude with God. I knew that you are a gracious. He's pissed. Angry is what they said. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. A God who relents from sending calamity. He wanted them destroyed. He thought they deserved it. He didn't deserve it for his disobedience, but he believed they're evil. They deserved it. They're not like me. They deserve to die. Now, Lord, take away my life. I'm so disgusted with what you did in love to these people. Just kill me. I'm just sick of this. I'm sick of what you did. Now, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. I see you done with these people. I'm so sick. I want to die. Really? We got people that would rather stay in the house of God than go and share the message of truth because they just can't see themselves talking to the other types of people. It's beneath them to talk to those evil folks. Guess what? All of us are evil. All of us are sinners saved by the blood of Christ. When you get to the point you can't talk to the other, you better check your salvation. Anyway, you go on, but the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? God is really calm because, you know, Anita would have said, you got to go, brother. I'm going to just put a little fire on you and you just go on, die. But God was patient with him. He's showing him something about, I've introduced you to the new soil. These people I wanted to save. I wanted them to repent. The foul and evilness had come to my nostrils, but I wanted to give them a chance. I wanted them to hear the good news of salvation. I wanted them to repent, and they did. We're not going to go into the whole plant. A plant grew up, protected him from the sun. God destroyed the plant after a day of being. But here's this conversation about this plant. He's got an attitude now. He's ticked off that God relented on the people, but he's ticked off because he was comfortable with the plant shading him from the sunshine. Now his head is getting hot. He's getting sunburned and he's pissed about the plant that died because God should have let him have the plant. But in verse 10, talking after this plant, but the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? We got children and men and women who really can't tell their left from their right because Satan has blinded them. And we need to go and tell them the truth of the word of God. But we got people worried about the plant in their lives instead of the new soil that God's telling them to go so that people can be saved. God wants us to introduce Jesus Christ to the new soil that he's sending us, to the people, to the families, to the communities, to the harvest. And no matter where the new soil is, if he has told you, if he tells me, I may not be comfortable, I'm telling y'all the truth, but God's word is true. And if he tells me I gotta go, I'm going to trust he's going to let me get there. He's going to give me the word of God to speak there. And that's why for those, I don't know where he's going to send me. I'm being honest with you. I'll go to this city. I'll go to that city. I may go overseas. I have to trust that if God says, Anita, in my spirit, you need to go. You need to go speak the word of God about my son, Jesus Christ. I can't say, I don't want to go. I've heard some bad stuff. Them people is strange. Them people is sick. Them people, no, I don't want to be like Jonah. When God introduces me to the new soil, it's for growth and development and more fruit to be born. It's for me to go to the good soil. I can keep planting in the same soil that's off the path, the soil that's being choked, the soil that's shallow. But God is saying to all of us who really are sincere, I want to send you to the new soil, the good soil, so that there could be 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Because these are lives. These are people who are going to spend eternal damnation, who don't know their right from their left until we share the message of Christ. So this is the last scripture. Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 5 in NIV. And I asked you to compare it when Christ is talking about the sower and the seeds, because the seed is Christ. The seed is the word of God, because John 1 talks about the word was with God in the beginning. The word was with God. The word was God. The word is God. He is the author of life. In verse 1 of chapter 11 of Isaiah, it says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. This is speaking to our wonderful counselor that our pastor's been speaking about. The Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Jesus. He is the Word, and he wants us to be introduced to the new soil in 2023 so that we can work this harvest. Because the people are killing themselves. They are taking drugs. They are doing things to themselves that are destructive because Satan wants them to die, not knowing the truth of who Christ is, not knowing he loves them, not knowing that he died for them, that he came knowing that all of us have sinned. So it's my prayer and my hope in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that in 2023, this new year that God has seen fit for us to, we're live for this point in time. Don't know if we'll make it to the end, but for this day, we praise God, but we ask God to send us, to let us scatter the seed of his word in the good ground, in the good soil, so that there can be 100, 60, 30 times of what was sown in the word of God, the seed of the word. I love you, and I pray, God, that we continue to do the work of the Lord, because the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. Let's join the harvest. Let's do the work. I love you, and Lord willing, I'll see you next week. God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.